Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like?
So like mom cook mode and start
That's
planning
cool.
that.
Yeah.
Well, don't you have a chef inside any of the no tribes?
Probably.
I mean, think about it. Somebody's there. I have a chef, but he's over at Harris Teeter.
Yeah, he cooks our Thanksgiving Day turkey.
Yeah, exactly. Al, for those who need to know.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the best podcast on the planet for sales and personal development. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling and the Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in New York Minute. Welcome, diehards. Welcome. And if this is your first time joining,
you better
are
be
in
a die-
for
yeah,
a treat.
A big treat, because today we have Sarah Benkin. She is an amazing woman, founder of the No Tribe, K-N-O-W, and she started a business, pretty difficult getting it to a place where it's growing and thriving is even harder, but we're talking to Sarah to get the secrets of her success to share with you diehards today.
But before we get to Sarah, let's read a five-star review. Doug, who do we got?
All right, Mike's up today. Mike writes, when I started my sales career 5 years ago, I knew nothing about selling. All my company provided when it came to sales training was product training, which was more about features and benefits of the product. But I found out it's my job to train myself in sales, and I've been hooked ever since. This podcast is incredible with its many different perspectives, topics, and tips, and it's free. What else can you ask for? If you're driving around and you're in sales, you need to be listening to this podcast. I only wish I had started sooner.
What else can you ask for, Mike?
Mike, I'll tell you, thank
a,
you.
A boss that provides sales training. That would be a start. We'll have him call us. We'll give him a shot. But listen.
But thank you, Mike.
Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Totally. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you. We love that.
And you, as a listener, you diehards, you can write your own five-star review, and we will read it, and we will tell your boss to buy you more sales training.
That's right. So, Jeffrey, we have something very exciting happening on January 1st.
What is it?
Come on.
Oh, our books are launching.
That's right. That's right. It is the very first day that you can get a copy of Sales Manifesto and Sales in a New York Minute.
And I want to say that probably many of you have resolved to take off that extra weight, so you probably won't be able to buy it on the very first day. You'll probably be at the gym sweating your asses off. But on the second day, I want you to, because you're good.
Well, actually, you could buy it right now on Amazon, and it will arrive to you the first week in January.
So you could be doing mental push-ups. You could be doing brain-ups between now and the first of the year.
Yeah.
And you can get in mental shape to be able to do your sales number or whatever they give you for the next year. I think it's imperative.
I do too. If you want, I mean, I know you talk about not just having your best year ever, but having your best decade ever.
Yeah.
These are the books you need to get.
Let me throw this at you, diehards, while you're listening. This is an economic upturn, the likes of which we haven't seen in a long time. This will be, 2019 will be the year of opportunity. And your job as a diehard, a salesperson, a manager, an entrepreneur, a business owner, is to make certain that you take full advantage of this economic anomaly. And the only way to do that, if your business is up 10 or 15%, you had nothing to do with that. To get your business to grow 30%, that's going to take the real number. That's going to take you to dig in, learn more, become a student of the game, become a better person in general, then become a better salesperson, and you're going to win in this environment, in this economic environment.
So if you're ready for that and you're a salesperson, tell your sales manager, or if you're a sales manager, do this. Get a copy for everyone on your team. And if you're a salesperson, ask your sales manager to get a copy for everyone on your team. We are giving away amazing bonuses for people who buy in bulk, like really incredible, amazing bonuses. All you need to do is email mary@gittimer.com and she can help you sort out the different bonuses and the different options and get your books.
Sales in a New York Minute is Jennifer's, and the Sales Manifesto is mine. You can go on Amazon.com and get your copy, in, at least get it to be shipped. I don't know when the audiobook or the Kindle version ships, but I can promise you when you get it, you will love it.
And if you're a true diehard and you're in our Facebook group, you may already be part of the street team and you may already have your book. So if you're curious about that, just join the Facebook group, Seller Diehards. And it's the official Facebook group, and you can look into the search bar to find out about the street team.
And now on to the great Sarah Benkin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of No Tribe. Sarah saw an opportunity out of a need for connections to build her tribe, and is now flourishing. Take note of exactly how she built her business and see how you can apply it to your daily sales life. Take a listen.
So, Sarah, let's back up for a second. How did you come up with this idea of the No Tribe?
So I moved to Phoenix, Arizona 3 years ago from Charlotte and had to essentially recreate every local relationship that I had ever known. Right. Mm-hmm. And through that process, I would go to different events, meet different people, and I would sort of say, oh, that's my girl. That's my girl. That's my girl. And then simultaneously what's happening, and I think this is happening around every city, you have 10 women who are always winning all the same awards, 10 women who are on all the boards. It's like the same 10, and enough of those people already. Right. So what we decided to do was create sort of this collection of really awesome women from all different industries, all different age ranges, very, very diverse, and put them together in a publication that you can see everyone instead of just seeing the same 10. And then the other thing, so the flip side of that was, again, going back to my journey of being in my mid-30s, trying to find friends and colleagues and vendors and all of these women, you know, where are they? Mm. How do I find them? There's more than just, you know, I don't go to chamber meetings, mm-hmm. but like where are my sisters? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what the Notebook and Tribe started as, like sort of a little bit of a personal journey. And I thought I needed it. I wasn't sure that everybody else did, but they do.
I went to the Charlotte one. It's the only one that men are allowed to, by the way. That one.
That's it. Sort of one event a year.
He came to our launch party.
One event a year men are allowed to attend.
So is that for 2018? Can I come to one in 2019?
Yes.
Okay,
just
cool.
That one.
All right, cool. But it was a very networking forward, meeting forward, smiling forward, willing to do business with one another forward meeting.
Mm-hmm. Top women, dynamic women. You have philanthropists, you have city officials, you have business owners, all women, only women. And these are the type of women that you want to know and do business with, but you're not going to find them because they're not out there networking. They're the behind the scenes people. They're the ones creating policies. And, you know, and that's really what it's all about.
It's interesting. So I was nominated to the No Tribe, and I'm honored to be in it.
Yay!
And it was interesting that you say that they're not networkers, because naturally I am a networker. Mm-hmm. And I found a huge openness. Like they wanted – these other ladies wanted to meet other people, but sort of stuck to the same people that they already knew.
Yep.
So – After Jeffrey left, because he left to go do a webinar, I was just walking around, walking up to people, just introducing myself and starting conversation with them, because that's what I naturally do.
Now,
I'm
her opening line is, how do you like me so far? But the bottom line there is that it's having been to 1,000 networking events in Charlotte, men and women, I think that it's important to understand that the reason you're there is to meet new people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you hang with the people that you grouped with, like you go to a high school reunion and mm-hmm. you sort of go back to your buddies, you know, your class buddies, that's not the purpose of the meeting. The
right.
purpose of the meeting is to get to know people that can help you or affect you or boost you in some way to the next level.
So how do exactly. you create community and engagement amongst the women in the tribe? Because I think you need to do something mm-hmm. to make it easier for people to connect.
So so we have the book, and the book is the book. You know, it is the display of all these beautiful women. And then we have the tribe component. And the tribe component is just the women in the book. And we tell you up front, listen, if you're not willing to have coffee with someone, maybe you can't do anything for them or they can't do anything for you.
Or you shouldn't be in the book.
You can't be in. That's right. it. Right. Point blank. Those are the conversations I have when I'm vetting, right? Mm-hmm. So everything comes in through a nomination process and vetting process. Arden and Stephanie were our local ambassadors here in Charlotte. And we have different ambassadors throughout. But I educate them immediately. Listen, you have a specific criteria. And you have to be willing to connect. And then what we do is, so the event that you all were at this past Wednesday was the launch. And that was the exciting time. No, and the cool thing about that is no one knows who's in, right?
Right.
It's a big unveiling.
Oh, wow. Oh. Right. Like,
the
list
never comes out.
I wanted the list nope. so bad before
they ask,
the meeting.
They ask and we say no. You can have 10 names and you get 10 names and it's the same 10 names that goes to everybody.
Right.
So that's the first time you see the book. It's the first time you see everyone who's in.
And nice we, reveal.
It's kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Surprise element. But you just have to trust, right? It goes back to trusting that we know what we're doing and we're going to align you with some really great people. And then it's all strategy too, right? So that's the purpose of various industries. And I built it out where you'll know five people, right? Because we want you to be comfortable
right.
enough.
Right.
So you'll know five people, but you won't know all 95, mm-hmm. the other 95.
Yeah.
So that's the opportunity to
it's
create the relationships.
I knew about five people. Two of them were there.
Skim through and you'll, yeah, right? And it's
yeah.
like, I always say, come as you are.
Yeah.
I didn't want to have this stuffy
come
thing.
Come on, it was pretty.
That was Wednesday.
People were decked out.
They
oh
were. Cocktail
I didn't
party.
Know what to, like, 100
I had women no idea. $500,000 worth of shoes.
Pretty much.
But future events, so mm-hmm. we will do mix and mingles locally every 2 to 3 months. I don't want it to be a chore, so it's not like, oh, I gotta go to that damn no tribe thing again, you know. So 2 to 3 months, and then there's always wine or cocktails, which lightens the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just hanging out. And, you know, yeah. it's all about building the relationships.
That's awesome. Okay, so what's it like? So you launched this where originally?
Phoenix.
And mm-hmm. then now where is this tribe?
Like, where is it? Like, where
yeah,
else
where,
are we?
Where else have you launched?
Okay, so we started in Phoenix. We launched February 8th in Phoenix this year.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Calgary, Canada. We've been to Tampa, Florida, Raleigh, North Carolina, and then Charlotte, North Carolina, and LA is next.
Wow. So tons of cities in just a few months.
Yes.
So we have diehards all over the world.
Yeah.
Where are your next?
So after these next mm-hmm. books, and they're annual. So we're going to loop again in 2019. So we'll get ready to loop again in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we are going into Edmonton, Canada, mm-hmm. Ottawa, Canada. We're looking at Orlando, Florida, Atlanta. We're going into Asheville, just down here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are working our way through Las Vegas. There's Nashville. There's seven of them on deck
wow.
for mm-hmm. spring. So it's all structured growth. There is a plan behind this. We have specific launch seasons, and we have a spring, a fall, and a winter season.
And you're doing this in addition to your full-time other job.
The other company.
Which is a waitress at Wendy's.
No.
Oh.
And that's Red Robin.
Oh, sorry.
No, you own a national concierge company.
Right. Right.
And so you're doing this in addition to that. What's it like juggling both things?
Oh, it's impossible.
So which one are you going to give up?
Oh, I don't want to give up
How
any
are you
of
making
them.
It possible?
So a team. amazing. So my concierge company, Metro's other woman, so with the other women that run around town and do all your chores.
We need that, by the way.
Well, I have a hookup, so let me know. That company has been around for 10 years, so I have really built it from the ground up. It's not on autopilot by any means, but what I will say, we had a really strong growth plan, and it's sort of gone to the wayside this year because no has become so prevailing and necessary. But I have such a great like internal management team that really just helps me with everything.
That's awesome.
So they keep you organized, or do you organize yourself?
Probably a little bit of both.
Oh.
You know.
And how do you do that?
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, you're in five other cities.
Yeah. I book my own plane tickets and my own travel.
Mm-hmm. That'll go away soon.
It's controlling.
Wait,
it's a little piece of control I can't let go.
And for all you ladies out there who can relate, she's also a mom.
Yeah, mom of two.
Nice.
Thanksgiving's coming up. Now I got to like transition into like mom cook mode and start planning that.
Yeah.
Well, don't you have a chef inside any of the No Tribes?
Probably.
I mean, think about it. Somebody's been, I have a chef, but he's over at Harris Teeter.
Yeah, he cooks our Thanksgiving day turkey.
Al, for those of you who need to know.
Al.
All right. So let's talk about your sales background.
Okay.
Did you like wake up when you were born and think, I'm in sales.
Nope.
And you were always in sales? No.
No.
How did you, what's your background?
I started at a construction company.
Oh.
When I was 17 years old, someone said, hey, they need an office girl this summer. They need an office girl. Do you want to come and get a job? And I said, well, sure, because I don't want to work at Chick-fil-A anymore. Right? So
But those French fries are really good.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So. Thanks for your order. Your name is?
My pleasure.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So I started working at this construction company at 17, and I knew nothing about QuickBooks. I knew nothing about Office. I'm just super savvy and a quick learner. Literally got no training. And so I fell into accounting, and I fell into organizational structuring and, you know, those sort of things. So like the business side of stuff.
Yeah.
And I am definitely like a templater and, you know, all of that. And then I went to business school. And
where?
East Carolina University. Oh. So
in Greenville.
Mm-hmm, in Greenville. Yeah.
Did you ever eat at Vinter's?
No.
They must have been gone when you were there. Vinter's was like three vegetables and a meat and sweet potato biscuits.
It's not a sell or die episode if Jeffrey doesn't bring up a restaurant with some location.
Oh, you're a foodie.
Yeah, he loves
totally
it.
Nice.
But they had sweet potato biscuits. Somewhere in my archives, I have the recipe.
I mean, those do sound pretty good.
That sounds really great. Yeah. Mm. So went to business school, worked my way through college, and I worked for a period of time in insurance, worked for a period of time and, you know, painting company. Small business was really my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And had my second baby, Sydney, and said, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I'm commuting 45 minutes each way. I'm in accounting. I was an accounting manager at that time. And I saw what they were bringing in, and I saw what I was making.
Mm.
And I didn't like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, I think I could do something. So my mom goes, you know, Sarah, I always wanted to run errands when I was younger. And I was like, Mom, that is lame. You cannot make a business off of errand running. Like,
You have to call a concierge.
Are you serious? But, you know, it stuck. So I went to Google and I went to figure all of that out. And decided that I was going to open a personal assisting / business assisting company, and I was going to leverage my accounting freelance skills to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
And never really realized I was a salesperson until I started landing deal after deal after deal after deal after deal after deal. Like, you can ask my team. They said Sarah can sell like ice to like someone living in an igloo. Like, it's just the gift to gab.
Cool.
Wow.
Well, there's a science to it for sure, but your enthusiasm, your energy vaulted you to have people like – we actually like you.
Thank you.
We don't like anybody.
that and not being afraid to ask. Yeah. You gotta ask. And I tell this to everyone, and that's what's been really interesting on this journey as we've opened new locations and even with our ambassadors.
Yeah.
Because this is, I hate to say, pay for play with No Charlotte in the notebook, but you know, it's not, I don't position it as advertising, but it is a sell.
Right.
You have to pay to be in the book.
Listen, this is a prestige thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're offering people, women, people.
It's a brag book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like, hey, I'm in the 100.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's my page.
Mm-hmm.
I look damn good.
Mm-hmm.
There's all
Let
kinds
me just
of,
look at my page again.
It's amazing.
There's a bunch of cool stuff about me.
Yep.
And I'm available.
And I'm going to hang with some other really awesome women.
Right, yeah. I'm going to
meet opportunity
a community.
Too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think the power of the group is the number of the group.
Yeah.
You have 100, but it can be 1,000. If each person brings 10,
mm-hmm.
now you have 1,000 people mm-hmm. that are at least in the tribal range of being able to get a message out to them.
For sure.
But, like, here's the thing. So there's events every 2 to 3 months. And, like, diehards, I'm sure you're in groups that meet every 2 to 3 months. And the magic is what happens in the middle.
Absolutely.
The magic is what happens in
Where's
between those two meetings.
Exactly.
We're setting
right.
you up. You right. got to do the work, though. Like,
right.
you got to do
like,
the connecting.
I'm going to reach out to every single person on Instagram, DM them, and say, hey, I'm in the No Tribe. You're in the No Tribe. Let's meet for coffee.
Yep. And what's really cool is you do that in Charlotte, but then you can also connect in Tampa. You can connect in LA. You can connect in any city because we're all
like,
this,
I'm in the No Tribe.
Yeah, I'm part of the Army.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
When you're visiting other cities. When you're visiting other cities, that's cool.
Yes.
You know the Apple Pan?
No.
It's in LA. So when you go to LA, you might want to eat
there. Apparently, I am not
two restaurants.
Not on my food restaurant skills.
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
Okay, so you made this leap. You made it sound really easy, like you just left your job and then started, you know, to start this concierge service. Mm-hmm. But like, was there fear involved? Was it scary? Was it just natural to you?
I think anytime you are raising children and maintaining a household, doing anything outside of the norm is nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am a close your eyes and just go.
Mm-hmm.
And someone, a girlfriend of mine in Phoenix, she said, you know us Southern girls, we take off and we like don't just hit like the bottom rung of the ladder, we leap far and high.
I thought that was New York City girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, somebody tell you that story and then they told me that story
and they used
the New York girls and then the Southern girls and then, oh, okay.
Maybe she saw girls.
Are you an actual Southern girl?
I'm from Raleigh,
Wow. Yeah. So you're a farmer, Southern girl.
Well, I mean, most of my family's from northern New Jersey and New York, but.
There you go. See, it's the northern.
This was the thing. That's it, right? And so my good friend says, you know, she's a Southern belle with a Wall Street acumen. Like, that's.
Ooh,
I love that. I'm like, we're going to brand
should be
that.
Be your bio.
Yeah.
We're going to introduce you with that.
That's it.
So you can take stock. In whatever I say.
Funny.
Ooh, I'm going to add that to
I love that.
So the challenge that you have right now is keeping all these women together, right?
Yep.
And it's kind of like herding cats, isn't it?
And managing the growth and, you know, all of that. So what's really exciting, so let me use Phoenix sort of as an example because we're getting ready to loop in through this first year. And so we launched the book in Phoenix in February. And that was, I did the first book, right? So I wanted to make sure, like, I knew what we were doing. So 4.5 months later, we have a book, and we have an amazing book. And when it launched in February, I don't know, fast forward a couple months, I said, well, Hal, we need to open up for nominations again because I have 179 women who want to now be in this next book.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, well, why didn't you tell me you were in this book? Why are you in this book? Why am I not mm-hmm. in this book? How do I get in this book? What is this?
I've already had someone reach out to me to be like, congrats, how do I get in the book?
Right? And so that's exactly how it goes. Mm-hmm. But so
what about the 10 women who run the town that you're tired of? Why aren't you letting them in the club?
We might let one or two of them in. But okay. Remember, diversity, right?
Got you.
Can't let them all in.
No.
Or you get in 1 year and then we'll wait a couple years and you can put in, cut another couple mm-hmm. in, you know, that sort of thing. So we had a scouting event in probably September, which was really just the scouting of like, okay, who wants to get in? Let's mm-hmm. let's bring in. We had 300 women attend. By the end of that scouting event, we had 425 nominations for people who wanted to get into this next book.
So why don't you expand the number of people in the group?
No. So once you're in.
That's N-O or K-N-O-W?
No, no, N-O. So that's
so
the thing,
raised
right?
Jewish. That was a problem.
Well, that's the thing. They say more people, bigger book.
No. Different groups.
Different groups.
You have 100.
Yeah.
And you then 100. You have the 400 up and comers.
Oh.
The Tucson group.
We have our tribe.
The Tempe mm-hmm. group.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
Phoenix group.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns group.
Oh my goodness.
The Scottsdale group.
Exactly. The
Gilbert
Paradise
group.
Valley group.
Look, you know my area. Yeah.
That's a hell of a group.
That is a hell of a group.
Yeah.
So what's the plan?
So the plan is once you're in, you're always in the tribe. You're forever involved, right?
If you
new
cough
face.
It up, you have to cough it up every year, don't you?
No. If you want to be in again, you can be in again. What we've also decided to do is to unleash our or roll out our subscription community. We are going to be doing some authoring, co-authoring, and giving some opportunities. We have a big summit coming up in the spring where we'll have women from all the different books come together. So we have lots of different things we're rolling out. We're talking about actually doing a monthly magazine publication mm-hmm. as a way to, you know, feature our women and bring on real advertisers.
Try to trademark that.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm telling you. The No Tribe. It'll never be trademarked.
This is the challenge. Getting it together is an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it together is a process.
Yep.
And there has to be something that will guide you to be able to continue this because obviously it's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, you were attracted to it. And you're proud of the fact you're in the book.
Yeah.
I've seen the page 400 times.
Wait, what page are you on? Have you memorized your page number yet?
That's funny.
I'm
That's
the only
so funny.
Page with the yellow background, so I'm so easy to find. I love it. I'm page 26, just FYI.
It's the same as your age.
Not really.
Got it. Okay, but you are expanding at the same time mm-hmm. as you are building the foundation.
Right.
So there's two things that are involved in that. How you propose to do that?
I think the beauty is my background, right? So I started in processes and structuring and mm-hmm. operations. So I can do it all. I can do both and then build out the sales. So we're templating as we go.
So we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen mm-hmm. to our show that are doing the same thing, like Jeffrey just said, like building it and laying the foundation yep. at the same time. What do you recommend to them? They might not have the same background that you have.
Do
it all?
Get some good people under you as quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. But be smart with those people. Make sure you're vetting them. Make sure they're bringing something to the table. I learned this earlier in the year. No one rides your coattails. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if there's something that you need, make sure you're fulfilling your need, but they're also bringing more. So it's not the power of one, it's the power of many, right? Mm-hmm. So that's really important, I think. Number one, I think that you have to take time out to make sure. So I said we're managing our growth. We really are. There is a whole method to the madness, even though we're growing extremely fast. And one of the things that we're doing is I actually pulled back on our winter launches. So we'll have our Phoenix and our LA book launch in the winter, but that's it. So I'm going to take those couple of months mm-hmm. to really refine and build and figure out where those gaps are. So yeah, we're building as we're going, but we're taking processes or taking downtime to make sure that we're like, okay, is this still working? What else do we need? The other thing I did is I just instituted an advisory team. Ooh. So I have an advisory team.
I just wrote down board of advisors. Because there are people who have different visions.
Exactly.
Than you.
Mm-hmm. And leverage your geniuses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. That's the big thing. So I just instituted that. We have our first Zoom meeting next week. And it's made up of two ambassadors that have already closed their books. Mm-hmm. Arden is actually going to be one of them.
Cool.
We have a photographer because, as you see, the pages have to be done in certain way.
Yeah.
So we're building out the photographer.
They have to be done in a female way.
Yeah. It's very sophisticated and glam. The whole thing is glam in your zone. Mm-hmm. That's what we termed it. So we'll have a photographer. We have our editors. We have our big team. And then they're from all the different markets, too. And then there's me. And I get to override them all.
I'm not on the board of advisors yet.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I would. Are you going to wear a wig?
I don't have a wig, but I have worn a dress. There was a magazine in Charlotte called Skirt.
I remember that one.
And I was the second guy.
Oh, wow.
To be photographed. The first guy was the mayor. I couldn't beat the mayor.
No.
Right. But I would challenge you that the word diverse is played.
Mm.
And it should be the word inclusive.
Mm.
Because you are, it's an exclusive group that's mm-hmm. inclusive.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You have the top 10 people in the city that everyone knows. I know their names.
Yeah.
I mean, I live here for 30 years. I know everybody. I know the top 10. And I didn't see any of them in the book, by the way.
That's good.
Or the people that I know. Okay. I didn't see them in the book. But I challenge you that there's probably another 50 that would love to be in the book, that are mm-hmm. easily qualified for the book, that want to be in the book, that can't get in the book. And I don't know whether they're frustrated or pissed off, or they deserve it or they don't deserve it, or they have the. So you have to look at that as the, how much am I leaving on the table versus what am I hoping to gain from this group, and how am I going to build this group?
One of the things I actually decided to do recently as well is, and I'm piloting a lot of this like through our Phoenix market where I live, but we decided to open up our tribe. So we now have the women in the know. So you're the in the know woman. You're like physically in the know, and you're in the know. But then we have our tribe women too. And so quarterly, I'm hosting huge mix and mingles, big ones, very styled,
meet
very
the tribe.
Curated. Yep, meet our women and come on in. And that is where we're doing, you know, you pay, if you're in the know, you never pay for those mm-hmm. because it's part of your membership accolade or whatever. But any woman who wants to align, and you can bring your girlfriends mm-hmm. and it's like $30 to $40 a ticket.
That's
but
smart.
You can't bring your boyfriend.
No.
So are men pissed off about this? I mean, what?
Well, they want a man's book.
I want a man's book.
That's so funny.
I want a you know what? Michael is looking at potentially putting something together.
Why don't you do me and Michael? Cool. Why don't you bring Michael around?
Yeah.
Bring your daughter.
Okay, she
so
can
she
come
can play
too.
With our daughter.
Yes.
And we'll create the Charlotte group of 100 men.
Well, you know,
I already got 30 of them.
We started laughing. We said, so we're going to be doing the summit in Scottsdale in April and for all the women. And I said, you can bring your guy too. They can't come to the summit, but you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like the men's club.
Yeah.
The men's club is going to have their own little pop-up summit golfing. Well, I'm looking at resorts right now, but I'm hoping it'll be at the Scott in Scottsdale.
Really? Not the Biltmore?
No.
Oh,
I don't want
a
boutique, fun, little poppy resort. Nobody wants the
Boulders.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right. I mean, are you from there? Like,
you're just well traveled.
Yeah. But that's a cool place.
Yeah.
And it is limited in size. You could probably take over the whole unit.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
That is the goal. That's why I'm going to go with a smaller boutique resort who can house, I believe, 400 women are coming. So,
perfect size. I think you have 350 rooms.
Yeah. So I want to make sure we get your genius out to our diehards.
Yeah.
Because you have built two phenomenally successful businesses.
Uh-huh.
You're networking like a pro. What do you recommend?
No, she is a pro.
Thanks, I am.
She's networking
a
professional. As a pro.
Exactly.
like a boss.
I love
listen,
it.
No, you put the thing together. I mean, a lot of people would look at it and go, well,
that's a good idea.
No,
you know how many times people say, I already thought of this.
She fucking did it.
Did you do it?
I mean, you can say anything you want about it. But
okay, so how do you take action? Like, how do you do that? What do you recommend to our people who have these great ideas? Now, where do they begin?
Oh, my God. Don't hire a business coach.
Okay.
Ooh.
I love it.
No,
well, what should they do?
Spending $30,000 a year on business coaches when you should be like going to, you know, reading books like yours and listening to a podcast.
Damn it, I agree.
And, you know,
I agree.
Buy those things and use those tools. You have to be willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. It's hustle and grit all the way.
Think about this. You could have 3,000 $10 bills. Hand them out at the corner of Hollywood and Vine, Trade and Tryon, and just talk to people. $10, I need 10 minutes of your time.
Yep.
I want you. And you would be a mate, 3,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
What could you do with $30,000 that...
Yeah. Yeah. Think about it. You need to like go out and like test your market. And I hate to like one of the things that we say. And so even in our book, we have an On the Rise section. Those are 8 to 16 women we've hand selected that are really, really fresh and new. And then they get to align with us. And they always say, find a mentor. I don't know that you need to pay your mentor $30,000
a
year.
Mentor should be mentoring
mentors
you
are free.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think you just need to align with the right people, build the relationships, find out who and what. Don't be afraid to ask. And make sure it's a solid idea first, I think.
So you've been building tons of relationships all over the country. Are there...
And I'm going to leverage every single one of them. And I want everyone else in our groups to do that.
But are there strategies or techniques you use to build those relationships?
So I think if we're talking just about I'm looking at diversity. Inclusive. and an exclusive club.
I agree.
I think I'm looking for what's gonna like help you. Mm-hmm. What's gonna help me? We talked about media. We talked about PR partners.
Yeah.
We talked about those. So just looking at what you need and then leveraging it.
Yeah.
And I know like if you want to connect with someone in LA, I'm gonna make that happen.
Yeah.
And it's really just the power of connecting and reaching out.
So I think that Sarah has some secret talents that she doesn't...
Yeah, she's not willing to reveal on this particular show.
Yeah.
But.
Like, I'll give you one example. When I was talking to her at the launch event, mm-hmm. we spoke for like 5 minutes, and then you probably spoke with, I don't know, 20 or so other women who were there. And then about, 30 minutes later, I bring over Jeffrey to introduce him to you. And there, you were standing there with other women. Mm-hmm. And when you introduced me, you had remembered... every single thing we spoke about. Like, I was amazed because you had just spoken to 20-something other women.
Yep.
So that's...
I remember.
That's an incredible skill.
So if you want to learn all about other women and how they...
You want to be in the know.
Exactly. I love that part of it.
Yeah,
I love in the
in
know.
The
I
know.
Think that's in the know. It might even be in the... You might need it in the at some point.
In the know.
Yeah. This has been an amazing interview,
mm-hmm.
and we want to be
Thank
in
you.
The know
yeah.
in the future. So we want to be in the future know. So we're going to bring you back
okay.
every 90 days or so
okay.
for a little bit of an interview to find out how the...
Where it's going.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where
we
are.
We want to know where it's
Let's
going.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Where do people find out more about Know
so
and you?
The KnowTribe.com or KnowPublications.com. I'm on there.
K-N-O-W.
K-N-O-W.
Right, right.
KnowPublications.com. And you can see every digital. The books are complimentary. So if you want to order one, just
Look
grab
for
one.
For Gluckow.
She's in there.
In Charlotte.
Charlotte. And then on Instagram at KnowTribe.
Cool.
That's where we're going to go.
And we will see you soon and safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sarah is freaking awesome. I really admire her.
Come on,
her.
Think of your diehards out there. Think about, can you leverage your genius? What can you do to bring other genii together to make better things happen for everyone? It's not about an individual thing. She didn't talk about that. She talked about the group and what the group can do for the group.
So there's a lot of talk out there these days about zone of genius, which is like finding your unique superpower, finding exactly what you are really, really good at and leveraging that.
Somehow I picture going to a down some street and it says no parking genius zone.
So Oprah Winfrey has this awesome quote that I really love. She says, "Forget about the fast lane. If you really want to fly, harness your power to your passion. Honor your calling. Everybody has one. Trust your heart and success will come to you." And so the question is, what's your calling? What do you wake up every day with a burning desire to do that you are really, really good at?
And I just heard 1,000 people scream, "I don't know."
Right, exactly. I know. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes it's really hard to find your zone of genius. Like, Jeffrey.
I wake up at 6:30 in the morning. Gabrielle's yelling, "Daddy, I'm hungry." That's my calling.
Your pancakes are your calling. No, but for real, like, it's really hard to find it. And once you find it, you can leverage it. And sometimes it's doing, you look like you're dying to say something. Go for it, Jeffrey.
I don't think you look for your calling. I think your calling finds you. I don't think, I have never made a goal to be a writer. I never made a goal to be a speaker. I never made a goal to do any of the things that I do right now. They just happened. I took advantage of opportunities that were in front of me, and they became my calling. Once I loved them, if you don't love what you do, it ain't your calling. And very well done. And I feel like I can't explain that. You expose yourself to the world. You have a positive attitude. You're observant, but not looking for. And when you're not looking for it, believe me, it shows up.
Yes, but you have to be open to it, and you have to be ready for
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
And when it comes to you, and when, you know, maybe you haven't found it yet, and that's why you don't know what your zone of genius is. But when you find it, when you're doing what you're really, really meant to be doing, you're going to feel energized. You're going to love it. You're going to wake up wanting to do it every day.
And I think when you find your calling, you turn it into genius. Mm. It begins to manifest itself on a daily basis because you wake up and you're excited. I mean, I wake up early in the morning. I want to write. I want to do something that I think is productive for me, for my legacy, for the long term. I got an idea. I want to play with the idea. It works. It totally works.
Yeah, I like your idea, both of your ideas, that you have to be open to finding something. You have to be observing what's going on around you and what's going on within yourself in order to find that calling.
So right, my
mom and dad never said, "Son, be a writer." I mean, that just wasn't right. It wasn't on their horizon.
Right. If you told me I was going to be a speaker when I was like 10 years old,
yeah,
no
gotta
way.
You got to wake up and
no way. But when I give a speech, after the speech, I feel so energized and I'm like, I could go give another one. Like, it is it is that feeling of just total high energy. It's amazing. We were speaking to Deb Calvert yesterday, and I know her interview is going to air soon, but she was talking about how this opportunity fell into her lap because she was researching something, and then she took it further and took it further and took it further, but she was open to it.
Right,
that
exactly.
is the whole key, is like she saw the opportunity and then took advantage of it in a good way.
I think part of it is being open. I think part of it is believing that your calling is out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it is devoting extra time to exploration. I did not come upon podcasting or audio engineering as a passion first. I played around on the guitar. I wrote songs. I did a lot of things that were sort of nipping around the edges until I found podcasting, and that really hit. But I was open to it, and I devoted extra time outside of my job to exploring those things until I found the thing that I really love to do.
Mm-hmm. Here's the deal, though. You have to, in your heart, believe that when this opportunity shows up, that you will be capable of it, that you deserve it, that you're going to take advantage of it. You have to see this as an open door mentally before you can ever see it physically.
So here's where to start. Just take out a piece of paper and begin making a list of your core strengths. And then you can begin to figure out, here's where my strengths lie and here's what I love doing. And here's what I'm really good at doing, and maybe this is my zone of genius. But if you don't write down those core strengths and maybe even talk to some good friends or family members who can help you think about this, you might not figure it out.
And don't listen to people that tell you that, what are you doing that for? That's pretty stupid. Those people have car payments, and I want to make certain that you're living your life in – an abundance mentally first, that you believe your attitude is going to be great, that your belief system is great. Then when that opportunity shows up, you're going to go, oh, I could do this.
And the last thing is when you do start to get that feeling, it's like having a fish nipping around your hook.
Yeah.
Baby, reel that in. Like once you get that feeling, put your heart into soul into whatever that is.
Yes.
And finish the job and reel that fish in.
When you feel the
You were so excited to get that point out, you knocked them.
When you feel the nibble, I used to go fishing with my father-in-law, rest of, and we had just literally an overgrown rowboat, and he would paddle the shoreline with a canoe paddle and have a cane pole in his other hand with a plastic worm on the end of it. And we would feed 25 people on a Sunday with bass, coming freshwater bass, pull lunkers out of the water. And this guy would try to teach me that when you feel the nibble, you set the hook. You just pull your wrist back and you yank that fish out of the water. And I'm telling you, fish would come flying into that boat. And he'd have like 10 fish and I'd have none. And he would turn around at like 5 o'clock in the morning. He goes, how's a corporation doing? I'm like, nothing.
Oh, man. Well, he was definitely operating in his zone of genius. And Sarah Bankin is operating in hers. So, diehard, it's time for you to find yours and operate in it.
And let us know what it is.
That's right. Post in the Facebook group, the Seller Diehard official Facebook group, what your zone of genius is. We want to know. We want to know.
Coming up tomorrow is our Best Of show.
That's right.
I want everybody to pay attention to the Best Of show. Download it. Tell your friends to download it. It's going to be amazing.
That's
You're going
right.
to get information you can take out into the street and turn into money.
And then on Monday, we have Motivation Monday. I love Motivation Monday because it's where we go live on Facebook and we motivate you to kick your own ass for the rest of the week.
Now, it's almost the end of the sales year. Are you finishing strong or are you drinking eggnog?
Right.
I don't even like eggnog, but I'm going to challenge you that if you are not giving it your best until the very last minute of the very last day, you have not taken advantage of your own opportunity.
That's right.
There's tons of opportunities out there. Get in the spirit. It's the season of making sales.
All right. I think it's the season
it's time to edit.
Of
it's time to
heading
edit.
Out because we now have to go.
Where are we going?
Well, we're going to make some sales. So until next time, I'm Tim Luckow.
Goodbye. Peace.
Shalom.
This is Jeffrey Gittimer reminding you to get out there and have a great new year.
Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.